welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. Our topic today, how to invent and execute your company's future for 2013 and beyond. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. We'll be hosting our program today. We have just a few housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into our topic. For those of you just joining for the first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, to help keep organizations off the rocks of potential self-destruction. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and assist companies with a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, executive onboarding for success, leadership training for the 21st century, which is led by Paul David Walker, exploring global options for expanding your business, sales and customer service training, and operational productivity improvement. Each of our programs helps to avoid organizations from getting stuck in shallow waters so our clients have smooth sailing. We also offer a number of workshop topics to associations and trade organizations. If you'd like more information, please email me as indicated on your screen. Our Keeping on Track open line series is in response to a number of calls we've been getting from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that most organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program. So on your screen, you'll see an area you could send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guest. You'll also want to have some paper and a pen handy to take notes, since we'll be sharing many ideas that you can consider and implement with your team and trusted advisors. I have the privilege to introduce a special guest, a close friend, business colleague, one of our senior Lighthouse consultants, Paul David Walker. Many of you know Paul from his best-selling book, Unleashing Genius, and if you haven't read it, the information for getting a copy is on your screen. Also, you'll want to look for Paul's new book, which will be out this spring. The title is Invent Your Future, and I'm not sure about the tag here, but I'm going to throw it out, Paul. It might have changed. Seven Imperatives for the 21st Century, and Paul has been gracious enough on our Lighthouse Insight LinkedIn page to conduct the Seven Imperatives discussion for the next number of weeks, which has been really cool. So if you haven't signed up on LinkedIn for that, check it out. It's called Lighthouse Insights. Paul is one of the few CEO coaches who has worked with numerous Fortune 500 CEOs and their key staff members for over 25 years, along with many mid-cap companies. Some of the organizations that Paul has worked with include Starkist Foods, Vons Grocery Stores, New York Life, Anne Klein, Rockwell International, countless manufacturing, global utilities, service and consulting organizations. Paul is the founder of Genius Stone Partners and works with both domestic and international companies to improve their bottom line today and for planning for the future. I feel privileged once again to have Paul with us to be on open line to prepare each of us for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of this program. The title is What Needs to Be Looked At in Order to Drive Sales Up, Up, Up. Paul, welcome.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for that introduction. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So today, 2013, we don't know what's going to happen. And the best leaders learn how to invent their future regardless of what's happening out there in the world. And that's always been the case. But as 2013, global competition starts to surge, we're in a different position as a nation or as a business. And in my experience, what it's going to take, to succeed in 2013 is on this, not on this slide, but on the slide after. This is a picture on the cover of my book and describes the seven imperatives. But here is what it's going to take: targeted execution. And this is my mission teams and individuals with clear missions, a sense of urgency, the skillness of a master, and explosive, targeted actions will win in the 21st century. Those who hesitate will lose. And I can't emphasize enough how important speed and execution is going to be, but in the context of a clear mission that expresses the answer to a strategic problem, the answer to a business problem, the answer to market wants and needs, it is dead critical that you know the answer and you know when you know the answer, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But if you have not rebranded, if you have not shifted the way you do business since 2008, you're in trouble. You may not know it, but you are. The world is different. The market is different. And we're going to go over how to do that, how to deal with the difference in the world today for your business. So I have an example here. I'm just using an example to go through this insight. You know, how do you take ideas from insight to organizational economic reality? The example I'm using is a Disney Hall. You can see some pictures of the Disney Hall. And of course, this beautiful, beautiful part of downtown L.A., and at one time, that was just a dream, just a thought in Frank Gehry's head. And every architect, every business leader, the key is to know the answer or know how to find the answer. But what's important is you must know when you know. So, you know, the future, you know, is like a dark room. If you ever went into a dark room as a young child looking for a light switch or a lamp, you know, your mind fills the dark room up with boogeymen, not with ponies or pots of gold. The unknown tends to fill itself with bad news, and so it causes hesitation for entrepreneurs. And while entrepreneurs are... One entrepreneur on my website said, geez, we thrive on diving into the unknown, right? Well, that's why 75% of startups fail, because you have got to know where you're going. You have to know the answer. You have to have methodologies to find the answer. And that entails everything from knowledge of yourself. Know, if you don't know yourself as a leader, it's kind of like asking for directions to Chicago and not telling the person giving you directions where you are now. You know, if you're in L.A. and they think you're in Dallas, the best directions, the best roadmap is not going to get you there. Likewise, as a leader, the first piece of knowledge is knowing yourself. What are you good at? What are you not good at? If you're attacking a market, things that you're not good at, you're going to run into problems continuously. Knowing what your team's good at, what your team's not good at, is really important. And then the knowledge that's required to do the research, to find out what consumer wants and needs are, to find out where the window of opportunity is for you and your company. This is the first step. You have got to know. If I could spend a whole day on how do you know the answer? How do you know that the money you're investing, the time you're investing for a new product, a new business, or a new strategic direction is right? Don't start until you know. And the last step in knowing, of course, after you've done your research, after you've aggregated your research into knowledge and insight, the last step is you got to make the call. You got to trust your intuition. You got to trust your gut. Every CEO I've interviewed for my new book, I interviewed 26 so far. CEOs like the CEO of Patagonia, the new CEO of California Pizza Kitchen, the Easy Move. They all have a method by the answer before they commit capital. And if you don't know the answer to a given problem, or you're using an answer that worked 4 or 5 years ago, you're in trouble. So what do you do once you know the answer? You have to paint a compelling picture of that answer so that your people who might invest in your company, your employees, your marketplace can see it. Here's a drawing that Frank Gehry did of the Disney Hall initial drawing there. Because you can't create something you cannot conceive. It's a basic fact of life. You have to create the picture of the opportunity that provides, you know, a compelling roadmap to whoever is following you. That opportunity has to be so clear, again, because people hesitate walking into the unknown, walking into the unclear future. And no matter how clear your picture is, people are going to interpret that picture according to their own life experience, their own fears, their own desires. So you are going to continuously refine that picture, continuously make it clear.
Hey, Paul, an interesting question just came in.
Mm-hmm.
Can the compelling picture then be painted by different departments, such as for customer service or for sales or for shipping or for trucking? Any of the above?
Any of the above. Anything you're trying to invest or create, increased results, new markets, anything that doesn't exist requires this clear picture, you know, to begin the process. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a porch. You know, I just put a porch up on my third floor deck. Well, you know, how do you build it without a blueprint, without a picture of what it's going to look like? You know, do you just start putting up beams? No. But it doesn't really matter what it is. If you don't have a clear picture of that outcome, you're going to waste a lot of time, you're going to waste a lot of energy, and nobody else is going to be able to follow it. I remember my neighbor when I was building a couple of, you know, remodeling part of my house, and I showed him the drawing, and I was standing out in the street, and he was looking at the partially finished product, and he said, you know, Paul, it looks just like that picture. Well, duh. What do you think?
Interesting.
You know, but how many of us spend the time in business to really define the outcome? And the outcome is not numbers. You know, you say, okay, I want to increase sales by 10%. Well, how? Picture has to be how. By the time a number hits the balance sheet, it's too late. It's too late. It's why do you want to increase sales by 10%, right? What are you going to do to increase sales by 10%? And how are you going to do it? That's the picture. It has to be deep and rich. And, of course, an architect has detailed blueprints. And here on the next slide, you can see where Frank is creating commitment. Now you see behind him there's even more detailed drawings. And so how do you create commitment? Once that picture is clear, you have to remember what I said earlier is people interpret reality according to their own experiences in life, right? And the picture you paint will help them see and build confidence in your vision, will build commitment in your team, the people who follow you trying to help you create the vision. Build a clear commitment in the customers and in the market. But it's not enough just to have the perfect picture. I mean, Frank Gehry had wonderful, beautiful pictures, great idea. But still, people are people. If you've ever dealt with your board of directors, you know, you'll find they come in once a quarter and start to pick apart everything you're doing. So the more clear your picture, the more focused it is, the more compelling it is, the easier it will be for you to create commitment. But nonetheless, you're still going to have to keep pounding in people. You're going to have to cajole them, you're going to have them to see. This is going to be good for you. This is going to be good for us. This is going to be good if you're a customer. You can't skip that step. It's not enough for you to have it in your mind. It's not enough for you to think everybody, geez, I explained that picture. How many meetings did we have describing what we're trying to do? And years ago, we interviewed Jack Welch when he was not a grumpy old man. He was actually a successful CEO. He said to us, well, Paul, you know, sometimes after these speeches, I go in the bathroom and throw up. You know how Jack, he's always been a curmudgeon. And he said, well, why, Jack? Why are you going to throw up after you give a speech? He said, that's, I say the goddamn same thing every time, and I give two or three speeches a week, all year. But I know if I don't repeat the same thing and make it clear to my people what I'm expecting out of them, they're going to forget. They're going to get off target. And that's great advice. Got to keep at it. You got to keep painting the picture. You got to keep building commitment. You know, as Goethe said, the ground rises to slits from the committed man. That is powerful. You ever watch the Super Bowl, you can tell who's committed to winning and who's going to do the best they can. It's pretty obvious, you know, who is going to win, who's not going to win. So, very important. But now, got your picture, people are getting fired up. You better acknowledge reality. It's so easy to kind of do the Disneyland when you wish upon a star picture, right? Here it is. It's wonderful. You're going to love it. But got to integrate this acknowledging reality should be between each of these concepts. Of course, I have to explain it in a linear way, but, you know, part of knowing the answer is acknowledging reality. Acknowledging, hey, the reality is it's tough out there. The reality is people need this product, whatever. And as you pull the picture, you've got to acknowledge reality in terms of what you're capable of doing. You know, if you're not an aerospace company, you probably can't land a man on the moon, so having a clear picture about landing a man on the moon is not going to do you any good, you know, if you don't have the resources to do that.
Hey, Paul, on this topic, a question just came in. I'm just going to read it. You opened with speed and execution, that they're important. When you say speed, is that faster than the competitor, ahead of the marketplace, and what does speed mean in the context of explosive targeted action?
Okay. So once you know the answer, once you have a clear picture, you need to move fast. Because if you know, and you've done your homework, and you can describe that and get people to follow you, that's where speed comes in. Most products today are based on time to market. I don't know how many of our clients have said, well, you know, we have a patent on that. Oh, rubbish. Patent's not going to protect you. You need to dominate the market. You need to be first to market. You need to have people call you, you know, the Xerox of your business, the Apple of your business. That's the best barrier to entry. You've got to get it done quick. Because if you've got a good idea, a good product, a good strategy, guess what? Somebody else is going to figure it out. Somebody else is going to try to implement it. So you better be fast. You better get to market fast. And, of course, if you go to market fast before you know the answer, before you painted the picture, before you built commitment in your team and in your market, you're going to have a problem. But once you know that, that enables speed. That enables accuracy. That enables a targeted attack. But ongoing, day-to-day, moment to moment, you have to keep your eye on reality. You know, that picture is a best cortina. Cortina, I'm pronouncing it wrong. It's the hurricane. Anything can happen. The market can change. I have a client who's in the online business, and I interviewed him for my book. It's called, it's like Groupon, but it's called Local.com. And he was explaining to me that he could see a shift in consumer preferences. And he did his homework, did his research, changed the picture for that segment of his business. Fast, direct, clear. powerful. You acknowledge reality, whoa, we got to shift. Now, one of his competitors made no changes, thought he was being rash. They're now out of business. He now has most of that money. So those first three steps, between each one, imagine this acknowledged reality being there. You know, put your ego aside. You got to face the good, the bad, and the ugly. Your ego wants to be right about whatever you're doing, whatever you're thinking, whatever you've done in the past. Just ignore it. Look at reality. Try not to get engaged, you know, with your ego, because your ego will just draw you down some crazy path that you think will work in your mind, but won't. Answer the question, okay?
That's perfect. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Well, so keep in mind that acknowledged reality is between every step. Okay? Now you know the answer. Now you have a clear picture of where you're going. You have to have targeted action plans. I'm not saying you don't have to have financial goals, because you have to have financial goals to keep the banks and your investors happy. That's fine. But don't mistake financial goals for targeted plans. You know, that's a picture of the lunar module there on its way to the moon. Man, that had to be targeted. The objective was to land on the moon and bring a man back, but that's equivalent to increasing sales by 20%, 30%, whatever it is, launching a new product. What got them there was detailed telemetry, detailed planning, training of the astronauts, training of the people who are running the controls, targeted action plans that fill in the gaps between your picture of success and present reality. Those are so critical and need to be refined as reality emerges, as reality changes, and you see something changing from A to B. Got to be ready, but then you need to retarget, re-up your picture, re-up your commitment, and keep your team, have them keep their eye on the ball. Have them keep their eye on the market. Create a high level of openness in your organization so that, your best market research is your salespeople and your people in the field. If you teach them how to ask the right questions, they'll help target you. If they know what you're trying to accomplish, they know the market, they can help you target if you listen to them, right? If you paint the picture clearly so they know what you're trying to do, right? So, targeting feeds into speed, feeds into accuracy. And now, this is something that's new. You know, people say, we're always been targeted. No. Companies have had enough capital, been able to borrow enough money that if they miss a target, they can try again. That's one of the things that's going to change. It's already changed. It's going to get worse in 2013. If you have major initiative and you blow your capital and do not succeed, the banks are not going to lend you money again. They're not going to stand behind you. Capital is tight. Got to make sure you hit your targets. And because you're not going to get a second chance. And if you do, you're lucky. But that's not the economic environment we're in. You've got to be targeted. Okay, so now you know the answer, you painted your picture, you got people committed, you got targets you're going for. Someone has to pull the trigger. Someone has to have the courage to act on all of this. Okay, now we're going to spend that capital. Now we're going to go to the market with this product. Now we're going to change our business strategy. Now we're going to restructure our company. And here's the bad news. If you're ahead of the wave, see that picture of this guy's ahead of the wave. He needs to stay there. doesn't stay ahead of the wave, you know, he's going to get crushed, right? But when you're ahead of the wave, everyone is a detractor, particularly if they can't see the picture. So you're going to get a lot of resistance. Oh, that's never been done. Ah, it doesn't work in this industry. Oh, that doesn't work for me. I mean, it's real easy to be a detractor. It's real easy to criticize a visionary leader. You know, you should have, if you read the bio on Steve Jobs, you know, he had lots of detractors. Even today, even in the face of, you know, the wealthiest, the most successful company in the world, he still has detractors because he was ahead of the way. He knew the answer. He drove to the answer. You have to have the courage to stand up to the critic such you know that this is right. You've done your homework. You're building commitments. Steve Jobs is great at building commitments. Sometimes it wasn't pretty. Well, sometimes he'd get in people's face. Sometimes he'd let people go who wouldn't be committed. But that's what you have to do. You have to have the courage to know that that's what is right. And, of course, all the preparation that I described earlier in the first five steps helps give you and your team and your customers and market the courage to do it. Courage is so important. You know, I was born in the UK, and one of my heroes, Winston Churchill, had the courage to stand up to Adolf Hitler against unsurmountable odds. The army had been destroyed in Dunkirk. The Blitzkrieg had conquered all of Europe. The U.S. was 2 years away from joining the war. He still stood up there and said, you know, we will fight him on the beaches and the streets until the last drop of blood. And Hitler would have murdered him, his family, tortured him in public. That took courage. Launching a new business, a new strategy, a new direction also takes courage because you can fail, and the cost of failure can be devastating to you personally as a leader and to your corporation. Now, here's another one. There should be between every slide, just like acknowledging reality, and probably the most important thing for acknowledging reality is what I call the stillness of a master. Learn to be in the zone. Athletes who win consistently have learned to be in the zone. Might be a curved ball coming towards you. A friend of mine, one of my mentors, is a sports psychologists and trained athletes to be in the zone. Some of them worked in professional football, professional baseball, and firefighting mainly. But some of the best hitters are so present that they can see the ball curving as it comes towards them. The best claim they can even tell you if it's a Wilson or a Spalding. They can actually read the label on the ball as it approaches them at about 95 miles an hour. They fall into this slow motion effect. Well, how do you develop that inner stillness? There's only one way, and that's to practice. Develop the habit of reflection. Develop the habit of quieting your mind and your ego. Keep the head clear. A couple of reasons. One, the stillness in the storm, the leader who has the stillness in the storm is the leader who people are going to follow. If you're in a panic, if you're in high drama, if you're showing doubt, it's going to be infectious. It'll be viral in your company. Something's wrong. People will hesitate. People will stop. So important. Two, if you're present, you know, full of a lot of chatter in your brain, you're going to see present reality. You're going to see what's happening. If you're not, you're not. Take it to the organizational level. One of the people I interviewed said to me, you know, we don't like a lot of drama in our company. We like a clear picture of the outcome, and we don't like a lot of drama. We want stillness, quiet, focus. But I'm not talking stillness of, you know, a hippie who's a slug. I'm talking the stillness of an athlete in the zone. The stillness of a Kung Fu master before a match. Stillness of a genius. As he lets go of everything he knows, he thinks he knows, and becomes open to the unknown. That stillness is core to acknowledging reality, is core to knowing the answer, is core to building a compelling picture, is core to building commitment in acknowledging reality. You cannot substitute anything for this value. So if you have your mind is raging all the time, if you're full of anger, if you're full of, you know. Again, I have a whole retreat that helps you achieve deep levels of stillness. And some people don't have time for it. I always laugh. Well, you know, or I'm too busy to quiet my mind and be still and focus on reality. Well, you know, this is a precursor to failure. The best leaders, Fortune 500, mid-caps, have some form of practice to quiet their mind, whether it's jogging, running, some form of sport, meditation, dancing, listening to music, whatever. You know, when I ask people to do a strategic process that helps people discover the answer, I ask them when they get their best ideas. And people will say, well, you know, in the shower or when I'm running. You know, they think they're being a smartass when they say that. But it is true. Something about being in the shower just quiets your mind and water running over you. Boom! You have ideas. I get a lot of good ideas. I have this hot tub, bathtub, and I'll just lie in there quietly if I'm struggling with a problem, quiet my mind, just be present, and suddenly, boom, the answer appears. It is critical for a leader. Be a master of your own mind, own self sense of being. Cannot substitute anything for that. How do you see the pattern in the data when you do the research that you know will lead to success if your mind is full of old ideas? We do this whole process, just did it with the Edwards Life Science, you know, for the new strategy, a new IT strategy. It's just like, they didn't know what to do. So I took them through a process that quiets everybody's mind and looks at the problem and then starts to brainstorm towards the answers to the problem. And literally, I've had companies save and gain millions of dollars by this whole simple process. It took about an hour and a half. I did this for Edwards. I've done it for some of the phone companies, and they solve massive problems. And the key to that is getting their, clearing their mind of everything. I won't let them say, you know, the rule is you can't say anything you've ever said before about this problem in this meeting. I don't want your old ideas, your old wine with a W. I don't want to brainstorm and have the wall full of flip charts. No brainstorming, no note-taking. We're going to explore until we know the answer as a team. And when we know, it will be obvious. But without this level of stillness, you never get there. So, seven imperatives. It is not enough to do a few of these right. They all must be in place. You know, combined with this constant mindfulness or stillness, right? It's not enough to know the answer. I mean, there are a lot of philosophers and poets who know the answer, but they don't have a way of describing it. They don't have a compelling picture. Right? They may know the answer, but are not interested in what the reality is everybody has to deal with. You've got to know, acknowledge that reality as you build everything. And you have to create commitment. Targeted plans, have the courage to act. You have to have them all. So many stop at knowing the answer and figure everybody else knows. Or, hey, I told them that last year in the annual meeting. I explained what our strategy was. Why don't people get it? It's not enough. You've got to keep putting that out until people are committed. You got to look into the reality. Are people getting this? Are they committed to it? And you've got to put your ego aside and be sure that everybody's getting it. And stop criticizing people for not understanding your communication. And if you're in middle management, stop blaming senior management. Just get it done. Create a compelling picture, build commitment around it, targeted plans, act. It's the only answer for the 21st century. If you want to ride the wave, you know, that wave's not going to be very vigorous. The wave of incremental growth in our economy is going to be slow. We're not going to go back to the, you know, post-World War II era when we had no competition. We got aggressive, well-funded competition around the world. You've got to master this if you're going to be successful in business. Just have no choice. And those that don't master it will be struggling, will be suffering. Those that do will rocket ahead. And I cannot emphasize the discipline of this. Now, you can say this, and maybe you've read something similar in the book, and went, I knew that. Well, if you knew it, you'd be kicking everyone. I'm just going to use a bad word then, but you would be winning constantly. People would be following you, right? If you knowing it intellectually is not enough. Yeah, I know I have to still my mind, but I don't have a practice to do it. Yeah, I know I have to create commitment, but these people are idiots. They don't get it. I know the answer. Why don't they know the answer? All of that is useless. You've got to have discipline to make sure everyone gets it. Everyone's committed. Your people, marketplace, customers, so that there's a buzz.
I like that. Hey, Pop, let's take one more question, and then we're going to open up the line in just a minute or so. Question is, how do the seven imperatives fit within the context of globalism and other types of competition external to the business?
Okay, so part of the answer used to be, will it sell in the U.S.? Right? That's only part of the answer. It's a global marketplace. How do you access, you know, the global marketplace? What is the answer? We're helping a company from Europe now who's had success in Europe for the product come to the U.S., okay? Well, success in Europe is not the same as success in the U.S. The markets are different. The demographics are different. People make buying decisions differently, and vice versa. If you're launching a product in the U.S. and having success here, chances of the same compelling picture working in Europe that worked in the U.S. is slim to none. It's a different culture. People have different ways of buying, different habits. Likewise, in Asia or in South America. So you have to go through this process for the overall product, but then you have to refine it based on the cultural demographics that you're trying to sell it into. And it will be subtly different. If you have a product like the iPhone, it's pretty ubiquitous, but believe me, they've done a lot of homework to, you know, create that buzz globally. Don't count on you having a product that has all that, you know, 20 years of prep, you know, to get the iPhone, Apple products sort of ubiquitous so that they can tell the same story in every country. No. You've got to do this for each market, for each demographic set of preferences. That help?
That's perfect, and be very, very targeted. That's great.
Very targeted, yeah. Again,
Thank you. This is a great discussion. We're going to open up the line in just a second. Why don't you go to the last slide there, Paul. In just a few minutes after we conclude this show, we're going to turn off the recording equipment because we've had people in the past say they didn't want their voice recorded during the Q&A time. So we're going to open the line, turn the recording equipment off. You'll see on the screen the area you can register for our upcoming November 13th open line program, which is entitled What Needs to Be Looked At to Drive Sales Up, Up, Up. Please sign up today. Reserve your space. If you'd like to have other staff members or other colleagues attend, please pass along the information. In the next few days, you'll receive a recording and PowerPoint for today's program, so please feel free to share it with others in your organization or within your association. Paul and I want to thank you so much for your time today and for all the valuable ideas that have been shared. If you'd like to contact Paul to have further discussion on specifics about your industry, your team, or to have some one-to-one time together, or to discuss any of the ideas shared today, you'll see Paul's contact information on your screen. The information shared today is a property of Lighthouse Consulting Services, LLC, located in Santa Monica, California. Our mission statement is to bring effective insight to your organization. If you'd like more information on our services, please write me at dana@lighthouseconsulting.com. If you have other topics you'd like us to address in 2013 or beyond, just let us know. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to having you join us for our next Keeping on Track open line program. Hold the line. We're going to open up the line. I want everyone that has to leave, have a great day. And for those of you staying, we'll be back in just about 10 seconds.